Vintage Sci-Fi Podcast. Welcome to Vintage Sci-Fi, the podcast that delves into the early works of science fiction. In episode 1, I explore the first chapter of a remarkable piece of literature, Australia Advanced, or Dialogues for the Year 2032, by Mephistophel the Younger. Published in 1832 in the Sydney Gazette and New South Wales Advertiser, this visionary story stands as the first science fiction narrative to grace the pages of an Australian newspaper. The early 1830s were a transformative period for the Australian colonies, marked by the Earl of Ripon's new system for selling crown land and a burgeoning interest in technological and societal advancements. These developments likely influenced writers and thinkers to envision a future where Australia plays a pivotal role in global progress. In Australia Advanced, we encounter a vividly imagined Sydney of the future, replete with steamships, suspension bridges, and advanced gas lighting. The dialogues between characters offer a glimpse into the aspirations and technological dreams of the era, making it a fascinating read for both historical and literary enthusiasts. In Dialogue 1, a traveller arrives in Sydney Cove on a steamship from London and is greeted by an Australian. They discuss the development of Sydney and nearby areas, such as Watson's Town, and marvel at the technological advancements, including the steamship Rapid with its 400 horsepower engines. The conversation also touches on the death of Frederick II and the ascension of George VII, along with the remarkable speed of the Lightning locomotive in England. Exciting stuff! And now, in a podcast for the first time since 1832, here is the first of five sections of Australia Advanced, or Dialogues for the Year 2032.
Scene: a large stone wharf or pier which stretches across the south end of Sydney Cove. A multitude of boats landing passengers from a large steamship just arrived from London. Australian and traveller. A. Welcome to Australia, my dear sir. Glad to see you in Sydney Cove. Have you just come in? T. Oh, no. We got inside the Heads late last night, but having to land some passengers at a pretty little village close by the Heads, we came to anchor opposite Watson's Bay, I think they call it. A. You are right. And the village which you saw is Watson's Town, a famous place for sea bathing quarters. I remember hearing my poor granddad say that, when he was a very young man, there were only two or three houses there belonging to the pilots. I think the village was named after one of the pilots. Which steamer did you come in? T. I came in the Rapid, a splendid boat. This is only her third trip to Sydney. We made the passage from the Land's End to the Cove in 50 days, touching at St. Jago, Rio Janeiro, the Cape, and Port Lincoln. A. Port Lincoln is a flourishing little town, is it not? T. It is. I was told that the population is now above 5,000, and the town is daily increasing. A. You made a fair trip after all, considering that you called at so many places. Of what power are the Rapid's engines? T. 400 horsepower. We have brought out 500 labourers for the Carpentaria settlement. A. So I hear. One of our steamers, the Conveyance, takes them to Wellington tomorrow. But what news from old England? T. She still flourishes in immortal youth. You would hear, of course, by the Comet of the death of Frederick II. George VII was proclaimed the day we left London. We had notice of it when off Land's End by the Lightning locomotive engine, which runs, or flies rather, between the capital and Cornwall. Her speed is 60 miles per hour, the greatest speed to which they have yet attained. A. Wonderful. Wonders will never cease, even in this wonderful era. T. Never, while Burney's Rin or grows a tree, as Burns sung in days of yore. A yes we hear but little now quoted from the poets of the 18th and 19th centuries. Scott, Campbell, Moore are now little read. T. Very little. The same remark was made in their day on the poetry of Cowley, Milton, and Dryden. A. And thus the world goes round. T. Shakespeare's fame, however, lives in a thousand tongues. His flashes of mirth and deep knowledge of human nature have suffered little in the wreck of matter or the crush of worlds. A. He and Scott's prose works go down the stream at time together. Was not Scott knighted by one of the kings of England? T. He was by George the Fourth, if I remember rightly. A. But a truce to literary conversation. What do you think of our southern city? T. Why, that it is a splendid expanse of stone and mortar, but even yet some parts of the town want weeding. A little more uniformity would be desirable. A. I confess it would, but this is an evil entailed on all new colonies in their early days, as everyone then built to please his own fancy, and you may see that this spirit has not yet died away. But, as it is, I am glad that our correspondence has at last brought you here, to see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears. In your last letter, I think you told me you had just arrived from China. How were affairs there? T. The war was carrying on with spirit, and the British were in undisturbed possession of Tonquin, Canton, and Nankin. Pekin was expected to fall soon. I was told that the 3rd and 5th Regiments of Australian Infantry did their duty at the siege of Makoa, like true descendants of Old England. A. Bravo, Australia forever. Anything more relative to the Chinese war? T. Not that I have heard. I hurried to England to be at the opening of the Grand Suspension Bridge between Dover and Calais. A. Is that stupendous undertaking finished? T. Quite. And one of the most sublime spectacles you ever witnessed. The ironwork alone cost £800,000. There are 1,000 shares at £2,000 and all paid. A. We have something of the same kind here, but not such a stretcher. You will notice that fine terrace on the point. T. I do. A. An old dismantled building called Dawes Battery stood there for many years, but government ordered it to be pulled down, and Bridge Terrace now occupies the same ground. A noble street runs through the centre of the terrace, which leads you to Sydney Bridge, also a suspension one. This is our second bridge of this sort. The other crosses Hanover Harbour, called, in the primitive days of the colony, Cockle Bay. And now we are at the turnpike of the suspension bridge. T. Why, this is a busy and animated scene, quite old country-like. A. The very rapid increase of the new town on the north side of Port Jackson rendered it indispensable that there should be other means of conveyance than the water company's ferry-boats. Accordingly, this bridge was built by public subscription and has only been finished a few months. We will cross over whenever that vessel gets through the drawbridge. T. What ship is that? A. The Leviathan Whaler from the Southern Frigid Ocean with sperm candles. T. Sperm candles, is it possible? A. The fact, I assure you, they are all manufactured at Cook's Island, the name of the ancient navigator of these seas, and brought up here. T. What tonnage is the Leviathan? A. 1,000 tons register, I believe. T. She will only be a second-class ship then? A. No more. The two friends cross the suspension bridge. T. That structure is admirably put together, and reflects infinite credit on the architects. There is very little spring, and I think only one pier in the centre. A. Only one. Port Jackson is so completely landlocked, and the water so comparatively smooth, that the labours of the workmen were never interrupted a single day. T. A very different affair from our suspension bridge across the channel. Nearly 1,000 workmen were employed, and it took them 5 years and some months to complete it. During a gale in December, last nearly 100 men were lost. The sinking of the piers was a tremendous undertaking. What street is this we are now walking along? It forms a beautiful line of buildings. A. Hanover Street. It is built, I think, after the plan of one of the streets in the North New Town of Edinburgh. The street that intersects its centre is Russell Street, which runs from the New King's Wharf up towards our Australian Ludgate Hill. T. Whose monument is this in the centre? A. Governor Macquarie's, erected in 1922, who is still fondly remembered by the title of the Father of the Colony. Here we have a tolerable view of Port Jackson and the shipping in Hanover Harbour. T. Yes, it is. The tout ensemble is highly pleasing. Is that a fort in the centre of Port Jackson, a little way down? It appears as if it were built in the water. A. That is our powder magazine, built on a little island that used long ago to bear the name of Pinchgut. 7. I should think they would be pinched enough for room. A. They were. and on that account the magazine was built much higher. No vessel is allowed to moor within a quarter of a mile of it. T. What two steamers are these just now coming up? A. Both from Van Diemen's Land, I think. The largest is the Tasmanian from Hobart Town, the other the, I forget her name, from Launceston and George's Town. We have now four steamers which sail weekly for Van Diemen's Land. By your leave, we will now take a stroll along some of the streets above Hanover Street, and then adjourn to the Australian Chop House at the wharf and take lunch. Tea, most willingly. Will you do me the pleasure of dining with me at my hotel? George's Place at 4 o'clock. Eh? I ought to have asked this question of you, but, unfortunately, I have an engagement which will detain me all the afternoon. T. I'm sorry for this. However, as I have a good many letters to deliver in different parts of the town, I will get over the evening well enough. A. Did you notice the stand of coaches as we came through Bridge Street? T. I think I did. A. Well, there you will get an excellent chaise, at a very moderate rate for the afternoon. This will save you the trouble of inquiring for your friends' residences. I have an engagement at Williamson's at 2 o'clock, to meet one of our hop merchants, or I would go across with you again. T. There is no necessity for that. I recollect the place perfectly. A. And now we are at the Black Bull. T. Good old English name. A. Will you breakfast with me tomorrow at 9? There is my address. T. With much pleasure. Exeunt.
Please go to episode 2 of the Vintage Sci-Fi podcast to listen to Dialogue 2. Don't forget to subscribe and add the Vintage Sci-Fi podcast to your favorites. Thank you for listening. Vintage Sci-Fi Podcast.